welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We've done quite a bit recently. We've often looked at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We've looked at it in ways that we've never looked at it before. We've never actually looked at it from the book of John. It's in chapter 6, and we're not going to today. But I suddenly realized I was leading you down a path that I wasn't going. But after the feeding of the 5,000, this incident happens. Jesus has just walked across the lake. We're not going there either. So we're coming in at verse 22 if you're reading, and I've got the Truth edition. So if you've not got that, you probably just want to listen, because it will throw all the words in a different order for you. So on the following day, so this is the day after that occasion, the crowd that had remained on the far side of the shore realized that Jesus had not boarded the only boat along with his disciples. They had just left him behind. You could probably preach on that too, couldn't you? They left him behind. But anyway, then some boats that had crossed from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread over which the Lord had given thanks. As soon as they realized that neither Jesus nor any of the other disciples were there, they boarded the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Having crossed the lake, they found him and asked him, "Teacher, when did you arrive here?" I don't know why they want to know what time he got there, but that's what it says they asked him. And Jesus, as usual, comes in at a completely different angle, and being the welcoming, loving man that he is, I say that with a twinkle in my eye, you know I do, he says, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw a miracle, but because you had lots of bread to eat." He says, "You're not looking for me because I'm God, you're not looking for me even because I did miracles, you just want more food." Now, the response of the crowd is the ultimate in cheek. I'm surprised there weren't lightning bolts coming down from heaven. Because a little bit into this story, they say, that he's obviously told them this, and all they did say was, you know, "What time did you get here?" But he tells them this and says, "Don't work for the food that rots, but for the kind of food that lasts for eternity, which I, the Son of Man, will give you, for on me, God the Father has set his seal of approval." But then he challenges them a bit, which we'll come back to. And now they've been told they're only looking for food. They've been challenged, so they come back with a witty and clever riposte. This is what they say. So they said to him, "Well," you can just see a little bit of attitude behind that. "Well, what miraculous sign will you perform so that we may see it and believe in you?" The day before, he fed 5,000 people, or 5,000 men and all the women and children. And the next day, they're saying, "Well, what are you going to do today then? Come on, prove yourself." I mean, that's generally what they're saying. This is God standing there, but they're basically saying to him, maybe they don't know he's God, but they certainly know he's a man of God. "Come on, show us something then." And of course, Jesus has already said, "Well, you've only come for the food." And so they say, "Yeah, well, you gave us food yesterday. So what? Moses did that for 40 years in the desert with the manna. That's nothing. Do some more." And they're trying to take the focus off themselves and put it on God. The church loves to do that. There's not enough healing. It's God's fault. There's not enough people getting saved. It's God's fault. What's God not doing? God, send a revival. God, send reformation. We don't like looking at it and thinking, yeah, well, what am I supposed to be doing in this? And actually, Jesus addresses that here. Those of you that were, when I asked the question earlier, what should we do? Or what should I do? Some of you thought theologically, I bet, and gave this answer. And others of you thought, I don't know, loads, I guess. It's also a question that people ask that don't yet know Jesus. In the book of Acts, people do say to Peter, when he's told them about the Savior, "What must we do?" And he does give them something to do, but it comes out of this that we're going to look at in just a second here in John chapter 6. We really are looking in John chapter 6, just not the bit I've misled you to. All right? But in Acts, he says, "Repent and be baptized." So does repenting and being baptized, does that get you saved? Is that what it is? You just need to do something. You just need to say, "God, I'm sorry," and then get baptized, and you're all right, you're in there. Obviously, the reason you get baptized is because they were believing what Peter had just said to them. So before the repentance, before the baptism, came believing what Jesus had done. believing Jesus. And if you believe, there has to be a response. There's no such thing as just believing. The only people that just believe are called demons. They believe and they haven't responded, but they do believe. It's no good saying, well, yeah, I believe in God. That's nothing. It's not that you get prepared. It's not even that you have to get baptized to be saved, but if you believe, you will be. Because you believe, because you know it's part of it. You make the decision, yeah, I'm going to believe. So you get baptized. I know I can be stepping on some toes of some different thinkings of baby's baptism. I'm not going there. We're in Kingdom Faith Church this morning. I have some great friends in the Anglican Church. That's about being family, and that's about walking together, even when we have disagreements. All right, that's just being real. You know, we're going to have disagreements with every other congregation in the town. We've got disagreements amongst ourselves. Hey, even my wife disagrees about some of the things. But we have to learn to walk together rather than... Don't nod so enthusiastically. I'll focus on Gemma, my daughter-in-law, instead. She's back. Yes, with granddaughter. We are very happy. But Gemma and I have been known to have a disagreement. But we love one another and we're walking together because we have a common belief in our family. All right? So we have to learn to have a common belief in our family that is all under Jesus and do the different things. But I'm still going to say what we're running with here. So, that's why I was talking about baptism. But I'm not really talking about baptism this morning. I'm talking from John chapter 6 and this response that Jesus gave. Because he says to them, so, you're not looking for me, you just want miraculous food. He winds them up a little bit by his response, and so they say, well, that's nothing, that was just for Dave. Moses did it for 40 years. What did he say to wind them up a bit? This is what he said. So, after he said to them, don't work for the food that rots, but for the kind of food that lasts for eternity, they in many respects ask a very sensible question. Because he said, don't work for the food that rots. Work for the food that brings you eternity. So the question that comes from the crowd is if we are to do the works that God wants of us, tell us what to do. Which was the same question that I gave to you. So what is it you want me to do, Lord? And Jesus gives the reply, and it's a terrible reply in some ways, because it just takes all the responsibility off us. It sounds like we can get away with anything. We can almost, to be honest. But he says, if we are to do the works of God, tell us what to do. This is God's work, Jesus replied, to believe in me, the one whom he sent. You mean that's it? Haven't I got to go to church and read my Bible and pray and fast and struggle and read books and be part of a reformation in the church and tell people about Jesus? Haven't I got to do all that stuff? That stuff is not the works of God. The work of God is to believe. When you believe, that stuff will happen. If that stuff isn't happening, you probably don't believe. Now you're feeling a bit like the crowd felt when Jesus said it. Well, who believes? But what I want to just put in this is I just want to help you believe. We've been doing a lot on belief. We've been doing a lot on faith. Faith is action. That's where we've been focusing on, that if you believe, you do. This is almost like one step earlier. The first thing to do is believe. Because you believe, you will pray. Why wouldn't you pray if you believe? So if I pray, people will get healed. No, I'm not going to bother with that. I'm a bit busy. So if I pray, people will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. No, I'm a bit busy at the moment. I've got to have breakfast. So if I believe and lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Yeah, but it could be a bit embarrassing if they don't. So I don't think I will. Unless perhaps I'm in church. And I might. Can you see where I'm coming from? Belief means you do it. Is that a bit simplistic? Well, it was Jesus that taught it here. So what do I have to do? There's two kinds of works. There's works of law and there's works of faith. Now, because the people that were speaking to Jesus were Jewish, because of their culture, because of their upbringing, because of what God had taught them, they would have been expecting him to give a list of things to do. Maybe a variant on the Ten Commandments or something like that. And of course, Jesus does talk of things to do. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's something to do. But before you do, comes believe. The original motto of Kingdom Faith, you might not know this, comes from Galatians 5 verse 6. I think it's 5 verse 6 and not 6 verse 5, which basically says, faith working through love. Even love comes through belief. Because you believe, you do something because love is flowing through you. Yeah, the worst kind of thing sometimes we get into is particularly say we want to let people know that how fantastic it is to be a Christian, because it is the best thing in the universe. It genuinely is. But and we want people to have that. But sometimes we can almost manipulate people into, you know, we need to get people saved. We need to get people saved. Well, we need to believe that the fields are white under harvest, and we need to do something, work, because the love of God is flowing through it. All right? So, believe. Faith working through love. That was the very first sort of tagline that Kingdom Faith had from Pastor Colin Urquhart, back in the days when taglines didn't really exist, especially in church. But he's always had that one, faith working through love. Fantastic. Well, it must be, it's in the Bible. So when people ask this question, what must I do to be saved? They can either respond by works of law or works of faith. But most people, and often the church, respond by works of law. I must do this, I must do this, I must do this. To still be saved, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. So, I must stop sinning. That sounds a good thing to say, doesn't it? I must stop sinning. But that actually is unbelief. Because if your first step is, I must stop sinning, you're trying to perform a work. You're trying to say, I must stop. What instead you must believe is that Jesus has paid the price for your sin, that you've been set free from sin, that you are washed clean. And because you believe that, you will live the life that he's put you into. It's a completely different mindset. And one will bring you into misery and one will bring you into happiness. The song that Joanne picked to start us off with, Happy Day, when my sins were washed away. I can't sing that tune. I've just got the other one. Oh, happy day. That one going around my head now. I can't get back to that one. But it's the same song, same message. I'm happy. Because why? Where's the song written from? I believe my sins have been washed away. I'm starting from a place of purity. Because if you start from the place of, I really must stop sinning, you start with a failure. Whereas this side, you start with victory. Yeah, today I'm living in victory. Not because yesterday you did really well, but because Jesus died for you. But if you start here, it's right, today I'm really going to try a lot harder. Yesterday I did whatever it is. We all struggle with different things. That's why we can never judge anyone else. We only ever judge what other people do that we don't, when they struggle with something that we don't do. Because to us, we haven't got to struggle with whatever it is they're doing. So it seems you can see that how they need to be corrected. And we can conveniently ignore what God is doing in our own life and challenging us with. But we're not pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's saying, yeah, I start from a position of forgiveness. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you want to put it like that. Right? So I can go through, I can be... The other great thing about that is, it means at the beginning of the day, I'm starting in this position of success, knowing that by Jesus, not by me, I'm acceptable to him. I haven't got to have a really good day or a really awesome prayer time and then I'll be acceptable to God. I got a word from God this morning, so this is going to be a good day because I got a word from God. Now, but because you believe, you want to spend time with Jesus. Why would you not? You have a first class ticket to a private audience with Elohim, the Creator God, every day. It's your ticket. You can come through. Ah, yes, come through, sir. Come through. This is the back entrance. No, this is the main entrance. This is the red carpet. The blood. You're walking down the red carpet. Where are we going? We're going into the main throne room, sir. Come this way. But I don't know if I'm worthy enough. Oh, that's all been sorted, sir. I'm not dressed correctly. Yes, you are, sir. You've got the robes of righteousness. We've given them to you. Every day. Why wouldn't we? Well, we might not because we don't believe. Because we believe that yesterday we had a bad day, or we had an argument with our son, our daughter, our partner, our work colleague. Something went wrong, and so you don't feel quite so acceptable. That means you believe in works of law. Apart from Jesus, we're always unacceptable. We are miserable, rotten, sinful worms. Sorry about that, just lifting you up a little bit. But the quicker we realize that we're miserable, sinful worms apart from God, and that in God we're amazing, precious children of light, the better we're going to have an attitude to get on with it. That's not to say we look at people who are outside of God and think they're miserable sinners, because they're precious unto God. He already sees them saved. Everybody you meet who doesn't yet know Jesus, you need to see them as if they already know Jesus, because they are precious children of God. Between them and God, if they don't yet know him, they are separated because of that sin. Miserable, rotten sinners, and they need to repent. But it's not our job to thrust that on people. They need to know the good news before we just thrust a load of rules on them, that they can't do this, they can't do this, they can't do this, because that's law, and we're set free from the law. But we're not set free from the law so we can sin. We're set free from the law so that we can follow it. But not because we have to, but because we can. We walk lives of holiness and obedience, not because that's going to get on well with heaven, our Heavenly Father, and he's going to answer a few prayers, yippee. We do it because we love him and we believe him. He's done it. It's such an empowering message. It puts everyone on a level ground. You know, because it's so easy to look at somebody who looks like they got it sussed. You know, you look at Brian here. Sharon will tell you the dirt if you need to know. But you look at Brian here. I'm joking. You look at Brian here and you think, wow, that's a man of God. He just oozes Jesus, doesn't he? Sharon is being very quiet. I'm very impressed. But anyway, he does though, doesn't he? He really oozes Jesus. Even just his smile and you think, I am never, ever going to be able to walk with God like Brian. Well, maybe one day if I try really hard, if I pray a lot. No, every morning you and Brian and Billy Graham, or whoever you want to pick, start on level ground, which is actually very high up, because you're sat in heavenly places alongside him. And I don't care if the day before you spent the whole day in prayer and fasting, or the day before you were shooting up. If you come under the blood of Jesus, you can start in exactly the same place, which is sat at the throne room. But when you believe that you're sat in the throne room, you will live not a life of taking drugs, but a life of worship and praise, because you believe he's done it and set you free. Are you with me? I was quiet the other week. I'm a bit noisy today. So, don't ever think, I must do better, I must try harder. Because you're walking into law. You have already been put in the right position. You've just got to be grateful. For men particularly, sometimes this is sickening. Because we like to do something. We like to feel useful. And this totally strips away our ability to be useful for God. You know, I'm good at, I don't know, let's think of something. I installed David and Lizzie's washing machine. All right, so I installed a washing machine. So that is a manly, man thing. I walked in with my toolbox and felt really manlike. You know, I'm here, the pastor with the power for the hour and an adjustable spanner. It was quite, yes. I didn't really walk like that. Somebody else might have thought something else about it. But I walked in and I said the manly words of faith. David, we need to go to B&Q. You have a part that is missing, but I know where we can source it. And we went to the place known as B&Q. And I was so manly, I didn't need to look at the notices. I knew where they were in the store. We found the nuts. Not David and me. And took them back home. It blocked the leak. And lo, once plugged in, the washing machine did worketh. And I felt good because I had purpose. Well, that's that. I know I'm mocking us, but that's how men think. We think our worth comes from what we can do. Our worth comes because Jesus died for us. Now, hopefully, because of the love of God in us, because we believe he's died for us, we will want to serve others. We will want to do things for others, but that doesn't give us any more worth. You can't be worth more than you already are. You cost the Son of God. You know, why are you struggling to think, oh, I don't know if I'm worth it, I don't know if I'm acceptable? You can't get a higher price than that. The ultimate has been paid. Jesus was sold for some pieces of silver. You were sold for the Son of God. Or bought. Wow. He was cheap. You have an infinite price. Wow. We've got to believe. But you might be saying, well, what have I got to do to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever it is? What have I got to do to live in victory then? Because I do struggle. You've got to believe. Here's a verse. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Is that your attitude in the morning? I'm an overcomer today. Because I believe I'm an overcomer. Say, aren't you sort of talking about, you know, self-motivation? No, I'm talking about Jesus' motivation. That's what he's spoken over you. That's what believing is. But nobody said believing was easy. There's many things happen that look like, oh no, that can't be right. But we've got to believe like we breathe. How many of you are breathing right now? The expression on some people's faces, I'm a little doubtful, but... Have you heard of waterboarding? It's that torture. I know, it's a strange thing to talk about on Sunday morning. But it's a vicious torture because you get held underwater and you can't breathe. And because the instinct to breathe is so powerful, the thought that you're going to drown, the thought that you're going to end, and that desire to breathe is so intense that it's a horrendous torture. Breaks people. I mean, on one level, it sounds like you put their head under the water. Yeah, that's it. It doesn't sound like some of the things we hear about, does it? But it's vicious, it breaks people, because the instinct to breathe is so strong. But we've got to believe like we breathe. You say, well, I can't see what breathing's got me. Look what's going on in my life. I've been breathing all my life. And yesterday I had a cold. I'm not breathing anymore. I had a really bad headache. It's just not working, this breathing. My friend was really unkind to me. I'm going to give up on breathing. I mean, it will stop being a problem, I suppose, but it's a bit drastic. But we've got to believe like we want to breathe. If somebody stops you breathing, which by the grace of God will never happen, you will be fighting to breathe. If somebody was holding your head underwater, you would be doing everything to get that next breath. You wouldn't be thinking, oh, that's it then, really? Even if you think you might be a weakling or a coward or whatever else, as soon as you were put under the water, instinct would take over and everything within you would fight for life. Believing brings life. We have to believe through when the stuff sticks our head under the water. Say, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to believe on through this. We will suffer. We will have trouble. Washing machines will break down. It's a washing machine thread running here today. But these things will happen. There's Christians who are really facing the wall in this world at the moment. Compared to what we have to go through, it's nothing. And they're fighting for their belief. I don't know what their belief was like before those things are happening, but now it's really been put on the line. And they're fighting to believe. But we've got to believe like we try and breathe. We've got to push up. We've got to believe on. Because if you can't breathe, you will fight for it. And we've got to fight for what we believe. No matter what comes against us, I'm going to believe through that. So if circumstances or situations or people or demons or devils or whatever it is pushing your head under the water, fight for life. This is not my inheritance. I start here every day, forgiven by God, ready to live in victory. And I'm going to believe that and get through this. I'm not just going to stop believing. Because if you stop breathing, you die. If you stop believing, your walk with God will die. That's why it's the work of God. To believe. But even that is a gift. Or it is by grace that you have been saved. He's given you the strength. He's given you. You see, you didn't one day do a course on breathing. You were given the gift of breath when you were born. Maybe they smacked your bottom like they used to in the old days. Smack. And you received that first gift of life through breath. And you're still doing it. You've been through some stuff, but you've reckoned it's worth carrying on breathing. Well, we're going to go through some stuff. But it's worth carrying on believing. When you get upset with somebody else, even in the church, can't fall out with each other. Of course you fall out with one another in the church. If it's a real church, you're having real life issues confronted within you. God is about enabling you to live in that position that he's put you in. So sometimes when you're being challenged on stuff, you can be a right grumpy bunny. And people, God brings people in and they can be right grumpy bunnies as well. And God puts them there just to reveal what's wrong in you. Yeah, if that person's a grumpy bunny and they always wind you up, all that's showing is what's wrong in you. It's just God gently, kindly, saying, well, you need to deal with that. Because I love them. Now, he'll be wanting to deal with some stuff in them, but that's not your job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to be right with him and hear him and do what he says and not, you know, oh, they said this, they said that, or you might be sitting on that side of church. That I'm sure this isn't going on ever. Well, get over your bad self. Get it sorted. Because when you fall out with someone, or you refuse to talk with someone, or you've got a bad attitude to someone, you're saying, I don't believe in Jesus. Loudly. With the shield of faith, we are to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. All the rubbish that comes against us. We hold up the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? It's to believe God's word. Let's believe like we breathe. Let's push on. Let's go for it. Let's not stop. Let's fight for every breath. Let's fight for every breath of supernatural life by believing and taking hold of whatever's going on. Because if we stop believing, it's like stopping breathing. Because we talked about non-Christians saying, what must I do to be saved? And thinking they've got to go through a list of things. Even today, in the world, when people think, even if they want to become part of a church, often people think there's certain things they need to do. You do not need to come to church. You do not need to pray. There is no law that you must do this. There is no law that thou must have a cup of coffee afterwards because it helps with the funds. Or there it does. But there's no law. But in seriousness, you will do these things because you believe. Well, maybe you don't like coffee, but you know. But we can think, I must do this. I must read this book. That will sort me. I read that book. I'm reading some great Christian books. I always have several on the go. I'm reading some great ones at the moment, but I don't read them because I think it's going to, if I do that, I'll get sorted. I'm doing that because I want to discover more about Jesus. I want to know more about the Lord. We've got to fight on through. Like we want to breathe. Yeah? I'm nearly there. The trouble is, if we have this attitude of reading books or doing this or doing that, it's like we spot holes in our righteousness. And while we're busy pulling the cover over that hole, we're just ripping a new one over here. Because our righteousness is just filthy rags. But if we know, if we believe, even despite sometimes what our eyes see, that we have been made righteous, like the Word of God says, we won't be struggling to fill up the gap. will be just looking and discovering how I can live in what God has already given me. This is not just semantics. This is the difference between law and grace. Grace doesn't just mean, oh, you just do what you like for the rest of your life. Grace means it enables you to live how God has called you to live. It enables you to walk in holiness. It enables you to walk in obedience. And when you fail, there's mercy to forgive you and grace to get you going again. It's amazing. So how do we overcome? By faith. The first fundamental sin that underlines everything else that leads to more sin is unbelief. So if there's stuff, we give it up. We repent. We say, God, I'm sorry, I've done it. Please forgive me. I'm changing my mind. You're right. And I'm not naive to think that some of you won't say that today and then you'll have a trouble with it this week. But that doesn't mean you stop breathing. You get back to believing. If you stop breathing, you die. It's worth it. Breathing is good. Faith working through love. Give it up and believe the word of God. That's it. Without faith, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So even if you're doing good stuff, if it's without faith, it can please God. Because it's just your work. It's just your stuff. However, if you're doing it because you believe, he's pleased. Because that's the opposite of what that verse says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, you will please God. I just love the thought that I'm doing something because I believe in Jesus, and he's smiling, thinking, that's great, that's awesome, that's brilliant. He's not some hard taskmaster that just has these expectations, and when you do the right stuff, he just says, well, it's about time. You've been saved 3 years and it's taken you that long. You've been saved 30 years and it's taken you that long. No, he's just smiling. Yeah, he's happy. They're having a Holy Trinity high five session. That's not necessarily in here, that bit. But trust in God's atonement and saving grace, not your work. But if you believe, you will do. Faith leads to works, which brings grace, which releases freedom, which increases your faith, which leads to more grace, which leads to more freedom, which leads to more work. Which means, whereas works without faith leads to sin, leads to captivity, leads to you being downright miserable. Why are there so many Saint Miserables in the world? Because they're trying to do it, and they're failing, and they think they're a failure. And God's saying, given the success, because that's where I put you. You are on the victor's rostrum already. It's called grace, for it is by grace that you have been saved. And this not of yourself, it is a gift of God. The belief you have by grace is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, it says. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. So, when you're getting baptized on August the 31st, you're not doing a work to make yourself acceptable to him. You're getting baptized because you believe in him. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I don't know if I believe this or not, how are you ever going to know you believe unless you respond? Your life will change because you believe. You won't change your life. Well, I see the way around. Confusing myself now. You're getting something out of it. I know it's a really simple message, but it was the one God laid on my heart. Let's believe. Let's trust. And everything else that we do that is contrary to this word is because let's just grow up and not get upset and realize it's because we don't believe. But that doesn't mean God comes along and whacks us with his big stick. Just time for an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't believe. Forgive me. And we can grow. in that that he's already given us. We can learn to actually trust God's word. When we pray, God send a revival, God says, I've already sent it. His name was Jesus. Believe him and you'll see new life everywhere. When we pray for God for there to be a reformation in the church, God says there is a reformation in the church. It's in every one of you. It's called Jesus Christ. He is the word of God. When we pray for healing, and we say, oh, Jesus, heal Sister Mary, because she's such a wonderful woman in the church, and she does this, and she works with the children, and she cleans the toilets, and she hoovers the carpets. Lord, come and heal her. God isn't thinking, that's a pretty good record. That's that one, that one. That. He will heal in his mercy and by his grace. It's not by work. He will heal because you believed his word when it says, by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Yeah, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe on through that. And if I pray and it doesn't happen, I'm going to keep believing, because I'm not going to stop breathing just because it was a difficult day, or because my friend is in hospital, or because I've got asthma. If you've got asthma, you'll fight for every breath. You'll take medicines to help you, but you're going to fight it on through. Or let's believe on through. Sometimes we can have a asthmatic believing attack. And sometimes we need friends to get around us and say, calm down. But we're going to go on. We're going to move on. We're going to overcome, because we're already overcoming. Yeah? Can we stand? Would you mind? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand before God for a minute. Now, earlier on in the service, just before I did the notices, I think, I said, imagine you're standing before Jesus and you ask him the question, what should I do? Ask him that again. And just see him telling you, my son, my daughter, the work that I've got for you to do is to believe. This is God's work, Jesus replied, to believe in me, the one he has sent. And you might have stuff go on in your head. You might have emotions that scream at you. You might have children that scream at you. But you're determined to carry on believing. Not because you believe despite the evidence. You're believing the evidence of God's word. You're believing the evidence. Then, after that, you see what God's done in other people's lives. But you don't build your faith on that. You build your faith on God's word. We're not coming to church because we want free food, even free spiritual food. We're coming to do the work of God, which is to believe. And there might have been some stuff that I've said this morning that you've really struggled with. Well, go and investigate it in Scripture. And believe what God's word says, especially about you. You are precious and honored in his sight. The way is now open because of the blood of Jesus for you to go right through into the throne room of God. He has made the sacrifice. He has paid the price. He's done everything possible to make the way open for you. And just as we're coming to an end, I want to give, I don't always do this every week for those that are visiting, in case you're thinking we are, but I feel we should do it today. And maybe it doesn't apply to you. I'm going to give an opportunity for people to respond and come forward. Now, coming forward by itself is nothing. It's what happens afterwards, really. But sometimes to know that we believe, it helps us to take action, to do something. And I'm just going to give you that opportunity. And you're saying, well, you haven't said what you want, why to come forward. I'm going to tell you that in a minute. But you're just going to have the opportunity to come forward. We're not going to lay hands on you. We might just pray collectively as one big thing, but we're not going to lay hands on you. But the opportunity is to respond. We might need to talk to you, depending on how you've responded, because we want you. The first response, really, is, this morning as I've spoken, you've realized that you've been in a place of not really knowing Jesus, you've known about Jesus. Maybe you've just come along to church because you're curious and you realize this morning, I want to believe in that Savior that says I'm standing in a place of victory because I'm going to see that in my life. Well, you need to repent, which means you start agreeing with God rather than what you thought before. It's a turnaround. And if you want a relationship with Jesus, if you want to say yes to him, if you want to be a Christian, if you like, but really we're disciples, followers of him, then in a minute, when I say so, it would be great for you to come and stand at the front. You might be embarrassed. You might have a heart that goes thump, 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 thump. But believe me, that's nothing compared to what believers in Syria are going through. And the world needs Christians who believe, not just have a quiet, unassuming, not tell anybody faith. So even if this is your first step this morning, I'm going to make it just that bit harder for you because it will be a good beginning for you. So there's that group. And the other group is quite simply that as I've spoken, God's convicted you of unbelief. You're backslidden. I'm not talking about you've just had a bad week or a bad day, but you've realized you've really been struggling with belief. You've got away, or maybe you've been trying to follow the law to make yourself acceptable. And to help you stand and repent, I'm going to invite you forward as well. And maybe that doesn't apply to anyone. But I think it does. So, just like we sung Amazing Grace, this is your opportunity to respond to the grace of God. You're becoming a disciple of Jesus for the first time and you've never made a public confession of that, or you're making that confession for the very first time this morning. I want you and anyone who's saying, I've been backslidden because I've been living in unbelief, I want you to just come forward right now to the front. If you want to get on your knees, you can do that, but just walk forward because you're determined to believe. You're not giving up believing. Just wait a bit because there are more that need to respond. What must we do? The people said, Jesus said, well, God's work is to believe in me. Peter said, it's to repent and be baptized. It was the same thing. Because you believe, you do something. Just one more minute. Sorry, I've made it tough on you today. There's not even music playing. That sometimes makes it easier. Not even that today. Okay, let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for how you have spoken to us this morning through your word. Father, we don't want to go away being like the 5,000 who've just been entertained and wanted more entertainment effectively. Father, we want to go away having fed upon your word, that our lives are stronger, and that our faith is ever more trusting in you that you've given us. Father, we want to be set free from trying to be acceptable, trying to do stuff, trying to be a good Christian. Father, we want to live in your grace, knowing that that's where you've placed us, so that we can live in that. Father, help us to live according to what we've said we believe. Let us be believers. Believers in Jesus, disciples of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You guys that did respond down the front and the others out there, just respond to God yourself right now. Jesus is there with you right now. Just begin to talk to him out loud. You don't have to be that loud, but just out loud, so that you're not just thinking it, but actually speaking to God. And just talk to him about why you responded. And know that he'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. He will grace you to do what you need to do. Repentance is always beautiful because it always brings new life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go through a prayer of commitment. But let's bear in mind that the prayer of commitment doesn't make you a Christian. Really, the prayer of commitment is just expressing what you already believe. So that's why you're praying. So I'm going to pray something, and then, well, we can all pray it together. Because we can always be committing ourselves afresh to him, can't we? Father God, I thank you that you have called me for a purpose. I thank you that you've called me to make a difference in this world. I thank you that you have called me to live in Christ.
Thank you that you have called me to live in Christ.
And I thank you that as I believe, Christ now lives in me. I believe your word, Jesus. That says, I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. I believe your word, Lord. When it says, I, myself, have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. Father, I repent of trying to work it all out in my head.
Father, I repent of trying to work it all out.
I repent of just doing things my way.
I repent of doing things my way.
And I choose to think according to your word.
And I choose to think according to your word.
And I choose to surrender to you.
And I choose to surrender to you.
Father, I thank you that you give me godly wisdom to understand. I thank you that you give me intellect to thoroughly investigate your word. But I thank you right now, I just say, I believe you. Fill me with your spirit, Lord.
Fill me with your spirit, Lord.
And cause me to walk in your ways. You're amazing. You're wonderful. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.